Science writer Carl Zimmer has quite a summer reading task in front of him. The 3,234.83 mega base pairs in his own personal genome. Zimmer got his personal DNA fully sequenced, and that's a serious bit of science. Carl, does this cost a lot of money?
Well, relatively speaking, it's pretty dirt cheap. My own genome cost around $3,000 to get sequenced. There's some companies that are now already promising to do it for less than $1,000.
And you can expense that to STAT, which is the article that you've published a journey of learning your genome in, the first part of which is out this week, right?
That's right. STAT was very kind in supporting this project, which has kind of evolved into a big three-part series. The first part is published today, and then two more will be published next Monday and the Monday after.
Now, what do you get when you get your DNA fully sequenced? A handsome, you know, suitable for framing, bound something or other that I guess you'd have to be a biologist to know what the heck it is, right?
Well, yeah, if you printed out the whole human genome, your genome, for example, in books, like paper books, you could fill several bookshelves with it, and you would be spending a long time studying it. What I got, in which I quite love, is a very sleek silver external hard drive with 70 gigabytes of data on it. And that's all the raw data from a process of reading my DNA. And from that, you can assemble my whole genome.
Now, does it say, I mean, this is, I'll start with stupid questions first. I mean, does it indicate in there that you're a journalist?
The journalism gene has yet to be found, I'm afraid.
Right. But I mean, are there traits, are there aspects of your, life that you could tangibly identify now that are related to this genome? We understand, of course, that the genome is the template for creating amino acids and proteins, right, that then are assembled into tissues, et cetera.
Right. I mean, we start out as fertilized eggs with genomes, and from all that, we emerge into the interaction of our genomes with our environments. So it's pretty important. Genomes sometimes tell you something you already knew. Like, for example, my genome has a Y chromosome. Apparently, I'm a guy. So, okay, got that established.
Wow.
Fine.
For just $3,000, $3,000. That's all it took. Wow.
Well, you need to dig deeper to find the really surprising things. So, for example, if you're a non-African, you can find the individual genes that you inherited from Neanderthals, just for starters. You can find genes that actually protect you from diseases instead of raising your risk of them. It's like an amazing continent that you can explore once you get all that data and get some help from scientists to figure out where you're going and what it all means.
In many ways, the value of this is not so much in what you can decipher now, but in the future, as discoveries and epigenetic sorts of phenomenon are discovered as related to the genome, you can actually go to this reference source and figure out what implications there are for you in all of this, right?
Well, there's an ongoing debate about what the role of genome sequencing should be in medicine. Right now, human genome sequencing is mostly done just for research or in cases where people have some sort of disorder that is just, they can't get diagnosed properly. And so people talk about what's called a diagnostic odyssey. Sometimes you have to sequence the whole genome to find the problem with somebody on a genetic basis. If you're healthy, do you need your genome sequence? Well, you might actually discover some rare mutation that might actually affect your own health or the health of your children down the line. But, a lot of the times you don't. I mean, I can't say that I've learned anything currently from my genome that's going to really change the way I live my life. But in the future, some of these mysterious mutations where scientists can't really tell me what they mean, they might turn out to reveal something. So, I can hold on to this data and revisit it maybe in 5-10 years and see what people have found.
You write about this a little bit in your article, but you have that hard drive just sitting there on your desk. What does it feel like? I mean, what happens?
It's pretty cool, like just to look at it and say, like, wow, there it all is. And
that's
this is
you.
Something. Well, I'm not going to try to make, my genome equivalent to me, but that's my cookbook, I like to think. And that is something that was literally impossible for a person you know, like me, a civilian, to have just a couple years ago. I mean, it's just, it's astonishing. It's sort of a testament to the advance of science that it can just be sitting there. And then scientists now can show me so much about my genome by opening it up and taking a tour and saying, look, here's a huge area of DNA that you accidentally got duplicated. What does that mean? What does it mean that you have some extra genes or that you have a huge missing piece of DNA over here? Let's look at this and try to figure out what it means for you.
Can you fly through this data set in some way that's visually interesting?
Yeah, there are lots of powerful tools now that you can use to look at your genome in different ways. I mean, you can zero in just on cool little variants that you might have at one position. And you can, there's sort of actually kind of a Wikipedia that some people use now where you just punch in some information and see, well, what variant do you have at that particular position? Or you can sort of surf around from chromosome to chromosome with some other tools. So they're still kind of in the development phase. I mean, it's not quite Google Maps, but we're getting there.
Finally, is this a snapshot of your genome at this age? And if we were to do this when you were 80 years old, would it be fundamentally different?
Well, I suppose if you looked at some of my cells, they actually would have a different genome because as our cells divide, some of them mutate. And that's what's called mosaicism, and that's actually really important to understanding certain kinds of diseases. The other thing is that the way my genome works is actually controlled by something called – sometimes scientists call the epigenome, and that changes over time too. And I'm actually hoping to take a look at my epigenome over, say, the course of a year. That might be my next project.
Game of Genomes is a three-part series that STAT has published. It's basically Carl Zimmer's personal journey through his own personally sequenced DNA genome. Thanks so much, Carl.
Thank you.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.